Let's read the first five verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort you, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief priest, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let's just rearrange them. Last time I stood here, I spoke on the second chapter of this epistle. And it was about the church. And who the church was. Yes, the children of God. But it gave descriptions. Descriptions of who the church should be. But what about the leaders? Peter has written this letter, and it's a letter of encouragement and how to live a Christian life. And in this last chapter, he focuses on the elders. The elders and their relationship to the church. And I read up to verse 5, because there is a reciprocal relationship. Is there not? And besides this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Elder and younger. Which grouping do you fit into? For we need to be careful. For elder or younger may not refer to your younger years, but of your standing in Christ. How long have you accepted Jesus as your Saviour? Or what position you hold in the church? Therefore, we should take guidance from both. You may be an elder to one person, but you may be a younger to another. Our focus is the elders this evening. Usually a term used of leaders of the church. There are other interchangeable terms. Which is shepherd further down. Take care of the flock. Feed the flock. And yet we have other terms of overseer, presbyter, bishop. And although function or status may vary from church to church, it means a leader. An elder is a leader. And it is taken from the Old Testament. For the Jews are the Christians at this point. The church is made up of Jewish people, and much was taken from the Jewish system and traditions. If we look at Exodus, we find that it is Moses that set up the judges or elders of the nation. He had too much on his plate. And speaking to his father-in-law, he was given a bit of wisdom. Share it with others. Share it with others. Lessen the burden. And he shared it with others. Looking after thousands and hundreds and tens. So everyone was taken care of. And is that not what an elder is meant to be doing? Taking care of God's people? Elders in the New Testament were appointed originally by apostles. For they moved on. They planted the churches. And then they moved on to other places. So they needed people to take care of that flock. We see it with Paul and Barnabas in Acts, setting down eldership of churches. We see Titus being told to set up elderships right at the beginning of that letter from Paul. He's saying, oh, set up elderships in the churches that I've appointed. And he also gives more instruction on what an elder should be and the relationship of the elder to the flock. So it appears the restructure of the early church had a group of elders. There were elders in Jerusalem. There are elders in the churches that were planted. Indeed, it was the pattern of the church here, Bethany, as it was the pattern of many brethren churches, to have an eldership. But it does appear that one elder was designated to lead or to speak on behalf of the others. For we have that Council of Jerusalem, where James, the brother of Jesus, actually makes the final judgment. Everything is held and judged amongst the eldership. But it's he that makes the final decision on what the Gentiles should do when they join the church. Eldership. Leadership. We need it as churches. And down the ages, churches have tried to emulate the early church. But there seems to be more than one concrete structure. And I believe God uses a variety of governments that govern his church. Different traditions, different cultures seek different things. But there will always be leaders appointed by God for his people. And his leaders that this part of the letter speaks to. Peter wants to encourage them, to build them up. He wants to get alongside them. And when things get difficult, he wants to point them the right way. He identifies with the elders, does he not? He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort you, who am also an elder. He identifies with them. He calls himself a fellow elder. It's not known if Peter himself led a church. He was an apostle. He was part of the leadership. And he certainly planted churches. And he certainly established leaderships and elderships as an apostle. He knew the pressures and the difficulties on the leadership. He knew the sort of problems that would beset them. And so he put himself alongside them, on their level. He was speaking to them. And yet he establishes his own authority as an apostle, as one who walked with Jesus, a witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker of the glory. Eyewitness of Christ being arrested, an eyewitness of Christ suffering on that cross. And it must bring to mind his failure. For we all fail in our life as a Christian. And Peter was saying to them, I was there. And I saw him suffer. But in his mind must be, yes, and I failed. I denied him. And I had to be restored. Even when he saw Jesus on that mount and the glory of God come upon Jesus, he knew. He also made a mistake afterwards. He wanted to build tabernacles for those he had seen. But that wasn't what he was about. He made mistakes. And he's speaking to these elders now saying, yes, I know that you're going to make mistakes. You see, although Peter is encouraging them, There is also a warning for them earlier on in chapter 14, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. For there is great responsibility on these elders. I mean, we see the church nowadays and we see the mistakes it is making. And leadership in these churches perhaps are not taking the responsibility that they should. For they are going to be judged more than the others. They are going to be tested more than the others. And these elders, Peter wants to get them right with God. He wants them to be right with God so they can do a proper job. Judgment starts with the church. And it starts with the leaders first. Yes, in Peter's life there were failings. Yet Christ restored him. And he wants to restore each one of these elders. Just as he was. You see, in verse 2 we have, feed the flock of God. Was not this the same words that Jesus spoke to him by that sea of Tiberias? We read it in John 21 where he says, feed my lambs, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. Jesus was restoring him. Jesus knew that Peter had failed him. He said he would. He denied Christ. He denied that he knew him. And there must have been guilt on his mind. But Jesus wanted to use him for greater things. And he was restored. Feed the flock. Elders are to be shepherds, carers of the people that God has given to them to look after. God is the owner of the sheep. He is the employer of the shepherd, the under shepherd, as these elders are. For there is a greater shepherd, the chief shepherd. We have that in verse 4, don't we? When the chief shepherd shall appear. The elder's job is a temporary thing. And the chief shepherd is the one that will really take care of the sheep, who we can rely on, depend upon. It is God that appoints the shepherds, God that appoints the leaders. The church may have a procedure for candidates. They may test them. But the church's role is to confirm what God has already done. God has called them. Now, not all who think they are called realize their hope. It is worked out within the church. And it is their calling is tested. Yet it appears many who have not been called may have been made leaders. We see the church nowadays and we think, why are you leading? You're meant to be leading this flock, but you seem to be leading them to disaster. We look to our leaders for guidance. We look to our leaders to be fed with the word. But when the leaders deny the word, then the flock will starve. Speak of the latest catastrophe that's happened in the American Episcopal Church, where they're insisting on homosexual leadership. Is that what the flock wants? Is that what the flock need? Is that what God's word says? Are they not actually causing further pain and further suffering for the very flock they're meant to be tending? We need to check to see if our eldership is right. And Peter cites three criteria for eldership. Each as a negative and each as a positive connotation. They are meant to be willing. It says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. The role should never be thrust upon a person, not forcibly given to them, as if they have no choice. They should be willing. They should willingly come forward. Willingly be available. For it is a calling of God. And there should be that inner knowledge that God is calling you to that role. And it is confirmed by the church. It does happen in some independent churches. There is no one else available. It's an interesting situation for myself, for Bethany. For if I had not taken on this role of leadership, there would have been no one else. I was speaking to George before the service, and he says, it's good that the church is carrying on in this place. For there are so many churches that are failing. Is it that they have not heard the word of God or heard that calling? I think some people may be going deaf. For God calls people. And yet some people seem to be not taking heed of what he is saying. My role was not thrust upon me forcibly. I was willing. In the New Testament, the translation says, as God wants to be. Well, God wants it to be. God wants leadership in his church. God is in control of all things. As Phil Grimmett, who was the elder of this church, was being called to glory, God was preparing me. I didn't know that at the time. I'd been trained. I knew God was calling me to something. I thought it was in the Anglican church. But the doors kept closing for me. And I'm thinking, what is God doing? And sometimes that happens. We seek God. And we know that he's calling us to something. And yet these doors close on us. And yet he opens the right door. At the right time. And he called me here so the work could continue. This is not always the case, you know. Because churches do close. And they are meant to close. For there is judgment. And isn't that what Peter's saying to them? There is judgment coming. And it will reach the church first. If we look in Revelation at the churches that are mentioned in Revelation, there is judgment on some of those churches. And they did not continue. For they left God. They left his word. And eventually they closed. It's more aware of that. There are not always blessings for churches. There are sometimes judgments. What other criteria are there for elders? Elders are not meant to be greedy. Filthy lucre, it says here. Elders are not meant to be seeking after money. Many a leader is tempted by material gain. We live in a material society. And we only have to turn on the telly. And we see all that materialism sort of advertised. And everybody seems to be after it. And it affects the church. We turn on our American TV evangelists. And it seems that every one of them is demanding money. They say, send me your money and I will pray for you. Send me your money and you too will be healthy. Send me your money and God will give you so much more. That's not what the leadership is about. It says here, don't be greedy. Don't do it for the money. And it's obvious that many in the church ministry today are in it for the money. I can truthfully say, I'm not. For there is no wage associated with my role. During the week I have to go to work. It's a tent making ministry I have here, as Paul did as well. And yet Paul says leadership is worth paying for. You're worth your money. And I'm sure Edward didn't enter the ministry for the money. I've heard him tell me the sort of life that God has led him through. And it's not for the money. And I haven't seen his limousine outside. So it can't be for money, Edward. Yet some do it for the money. We should do it for the love of God and the obedience to him. What else is in there in the criteria? We should not lord it over people. How many times do you hear of ministers ordering and bullying and abusing those in their charge? There's that terrible case in the press just recently of the Irish Roman Catholic priests abusing the children in their care. And the church covering it up, moving people from one place to the other as if to hide it so the abuse carries on elsewhere. Lording it over people. It's not only the Roman Catholics. We see it in the other denominations. We see ministers bullying their congregation. The Church of England congregations applying to the bishops to have their vicars removed. We see it in the cults. Where there's one guy, he's into heavy shepherding, and he's telling the people how to live their lives to such a degree that he's even instructing them who to marry. We're meant to lead. Leaders are meant to lead by example. There's always that picture of the Eastern Shepherds that I know that's been shared with you on many occasions. The Eastern Shepherd lead their sheep. They know each one of them by name. And the sheep know their voice. And they lead them to different pastures. They follow those sheep too. And the shepherd takes care of them. The church in the West, in our country, perhaps is too much like the Western shepherd. Forcing the sheep, as they do with the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs barking and sometimes biting to keep control. Doesn't this seem to be the picture of so many churches nowadays? I've spoken only of the elders. For elders, leaders are important. Elders need your support. They need your prayers. For there are many pressures on them, as Peter has said. They fail and sometimes get it wrong. And what are we going to do? Are we going to condemn them? Or are we going to be there for them? Peter, it was there for them. Saying, I am an elder. I have failed in the past. Learn from my mistakes. You should be encouraged, for God has given you good shepherds and blessed you. Keep on praying for them. Praying for those who have fallen greatly as well. For God can lift them up again. And we need leaders lifted up. But always be mindful. For you have the under shepherds. And that chief shepherd is going to return. And he will bless and reward those under shepherds. And yes, he will reward each one of you as well. He will collect us together and we will follow him to a new place, to heaven itself, where he'll take care of us. Remember your elders, remember your leaders, and pray for them. Amen.
Given us all so much to thank him for. And we close with hymn number 625, Love Divine, All Love Excessive. So Lord, as thou hast given us leadership and everything we need, so we give to thee harmony in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom we glory for ever. Amen.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon us and upon all whom we love now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Makes in us such